So let's start.
I was right on time.
I know.
The conference call is now being recorded. Press star 9 again to pause the recording.
All right, so we're going to begin now. Please join me in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalad Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachame Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Resh Sadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berotuvcha Nael Adatach Hetkuf Bet Tet Nunayin Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Hey Zion Kuf. The letters of the month of Sivan, the Resh, that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Zion that created the constellation Tumim, the Gemini, the twins. Together, the Resh and the Zion have a gematria of 207, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word for light. And also, the phrase Olam, Adon Olam, Master of the Universe. And also the phrase En Sof, the Endless World. And you can just get a hint on how powerful the month of Sivan is due to the revelation of the Torah during this month. But of course, the Torah was not given, and that's what made the power of Sivan so powerful. Sivan was given, was created to reveal the Torah, and that is the cause. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yuta. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm going to read from the Zohar, from the parasha of Shlech Lecha. Send for yourself is the translation of that term. I'm going to read from section 3, the moon shines only when the sun sets. Verse 9. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenehu. Tachatzi Moshe Itema dehu la yada Dila Yehul Leara Bizam Nada Lavaki Ela Yada Vahava Bae Laminda Mina Adla yistalak v'shilach le'ilein me'el alei kevan delaitivu milakadka yehut la yishalach zimna achara adikucha berihu achze le'diktiv Ale el char ha'avarayim azeure et ha'aretz ukativ vayayirahu Hashem et kol ha'aretz velada kalchodo ela kol inun dizminin lemekam bekol dira devedara kulhu Ach se leile Moshe, vit mar viok nucha avraya. Come and see. If you think Moses did not know at that time that he would not enter the land of Israel, it is not so. He most certainly knew, and he wished to know about it before he departed. Therefore he sent spies, actually tourists. Since they did not report to him properly, he did not send more, until the Holy One, blessed be he, showed it to him. As it is written, Go up into this mount of Arim, and behold the land. And Hashem showed him all the land. Not only was he shown this, but Moses was shown all those leaders who were destined to arise in each successive generation, as we have learned. This was already explained by the friends. The friends are the writings of the Talmud. And Moses knew he wasn't going into the land. He knew that the people were not ready. But he still had a desire to go into the land. Just because you know something is denied to you doesn't mean you lose the desire. Frequently, that strengthens the desire. And that, in Moses' case, would be actually true. Does anybody have any questions or comments before we start the class? Tonight's class is the 38th in our Sefer Yetzirah series. This is the third to the last class. Next week will be the 39th, and the week after the 40th. And the week after that, we'll be starting a new class called Science and Torah. That class, we're going to be adjusting the time to be 7:30 West Coast time rather than 7. I apologize for any inconvenience that might mean, but my schedule and my new location requires it. Tonight we are continuing discussing Ruach HaKodesh. We are continuing to discuss the Magid. We are just continuing to explain what you can expect to experience when you change your consciousness and expand your consciousness and start to go out into the universe, to the various universes, and meet who you will meet. When consciousness shifts, either it expands or contracts, it does not happen easily. This is similar to the exercises that build muscles in the gym or not in the gym. People spend many hours on exercise equipment and accomplish no lasting result. The reason they do not accomplish a lasting result is they really do not know what they are doing, and they are not clear on what they want to accomplish. And so they can spend an hour on a particular machine, but if they don't know how to use the machine, they don't know what the purpose of the machine is for. There's no lasting result. Nothing gets accomplished. And the same can be true in meditation. Nothing can be accomplished in meditation with respect to your tikkun, your correction, and expanding your consciousness and making more of your unconscious part of your conscious, unless you know where you are going and what is the purpose of going there. What do you want to accomplish? This is a very great secret. And almost no meditation teacher ever expresses it. When you give control over to your magid, you will take on mannerisms, voice inflections, and other types of affects that are foreign to you as you are today. My teacher tells a story of one of his students who had been meditating for 25 years using the Transcendental Meditation System. In that system, they do rituals that are called Avodah Zarah, or idol worship. They're not called that, but they are actually that. This person indicated he wanted to return to Torah and mitzvot. Almost immediately, he is having conversations with Eliyahu and with Moshe and other great sages. He was with my teacher at the time of speaking to an angel who taught Joseph to speak the 70 languages during the one night prior to meeting Pharaoh. You may know that midrash. It's a fairly well-known midrash. I've spoken about it a number of times. That on the night before Joseph met Pharaoh, an angel came to him and taught him all of the 70 languages of the 70 nations, so that he had the merit to meet Pharaoh, because no one could meet Pharaoh who could not speak these 70 languages. My teacher asked his student if he could speak through the student to the angel. Both the angel and the student agreed, and my teacher spoke Hebrew with the student. The student responded that the angel did not speak Hebrew. My teacher said, "This cannot be." It confirmed to my teacher that this teacher, which prides itself on reaching the cloud, stays in the cloud until the cleansing takes place through the mitzvot. What this story comes to teach us, and what my teacher has always expressed, and I hopefully have communicated to you. No one expects anyone who's not Jewish to become Jewish. And no one is expecting anyone who is Jewish to become religious. The purpose of the mitzvot, whether they're the seven Noahide mitzvot, or the 613 mitzvot for the Jewish world. The purpose of the mitzvot is to cleanse and prepare the vessel to receive the light. Without doing the mitzvot, that cleansing doesn't take place. Someone can be an absolutely righteous human being. You've met them. They really do nice things for people. But they don't do mitzvot. They don't do the actions that Hashem suggests. They did them last lifetime, or they wouldn't come into this lifetime as that good human being. They do things out of logic that it feels right to them to be a good human being. But it doesn't change anything They didn't come into this world to be a good human being. They came into this world to grow, to be a better human being. And that only comes through the process of cleansing associated with the mitzvot. Whether it's the seven Noahide mitzvot or the 613 mitzvot for the Jewish world. I want to clarify one other point. We are not speaking badly against other meditative systems. They work. They work for various reasons. The system works whether you are righteous or not righteous. But they work in different directions, as we will come to understand in the next few weeks. The other meditative systems that are not taught within Kabbalah, that do not use the Hebrew letters, they are not pure. They are not complete. And they generally put the person who participates in the earthly realms, no matter what you see or what you hear. The ultimate goal is to go outside of the earthly realms. You're not here to meet earthbound spirits. There are billions of earthbound spirits. They're called human beings. You don't need to go meet earthbound spirits who lack human bodies. Hashem wants you to go out into the universe. And the only way to achieve that is through the meditations that we have been teaching you over the last 7 or 8 months now. There are many meditative systems and religious systems that come from India, from China, from other locations that have great material and social benefits and techniques. The important point is that they must be divorced from their idolatrous roots. That takes a minion of masters to accomplish. There is a reason why the Sanhedrin, the high court in Israel, had 70 people within it, one for each of the 70 nations. Understand the idea of the high court in Israel. The court consists of 3 for certain things, 7 for other things, 23 for the death penalty. Remember, the death penalty is the effect of vital worship. And there are 4 types of death, also based on the actions that we do. Which type of death? Because it's measure for measure. These are physical effects and stories from the Torah, and they are also metaphors that apply in this otherworldly levels as well. When Buddha was first teaching, he was teaching a path associated with the B'nai Noach. It was a righteous path until others started to deify him and pray to him, and then it became corrupted, which is the goal of the Satan as it lengthens the process. This is true of the Jewish religion. This is true of the Christian religion. This is true of every religion that has been brought into the world, including the secular religion of our modern generation, including the religion of science, including the New Age religions and spiritual paths. In my own search, which has been over many lifetimes, I have come to know that the teachings of the man from Nazareth are based on idol worship. Most of the teachings of the paths coming from the East are corrupted into idol worship. Muslim religion teaches that their way is right, and everyone must be forced into that path unless they choose it voluntarily under pain of death, comes something that is contrary to spiritual law. Hindus follow idol worship except at their central core of the teachings, and there is too much to cleanse when you get there. Modern secularists called scientists tend to follow a path of idol worship. Not all, but most. So I have decided intellectually and intuitively that the path of Judaism is the purest path that leads to the shortest process to joy and happiness. That is my personal path, but it is not what each of you need to follow. You each can use these tools to help you find the correct path for yourself. One of the 70 paths for the nations, one of the 12 paths for the tribes of Israel, or the path of the righteous Gentile called B'nai Noach, which is the process being formulated again. The B'nai Noachs have no strict ritual. They're developing it. The closest path to the teachings here are the Muslim mystics called Sufis and their whirling dervishes. How much interaction there were between the groups is unclear historically and does not really matter. I know some modern mystics who spend great amounts of vacation time in Turkey learning techniques that are available within Orthodox Judaism, but they refuse to submit to their perceptions that Orthodoxy is incorrect. So they follow the techniques prescribed by their Sufi teachers. All of the above are paraphrased teachings from the Sharei Ruach HaKodesh, from the Gate of Ruach HaKodesh, which was written by the Ari through his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, and from my teacher, who translated it orally to me. The techniques that I was taught and I have been teaching you are techniques for one purpose, to expand your consciousness. This has been going on since Abraham. What will you do with your expanded consciousness? Where will you go? What do you want to accomplish? When we remember that the word consciousness is a code for desire to receive, expanded consciousness means greater desire, which means greater fulfillment, which means greater joy and pleasure. This is where you want to go, I hope. Remember the adage, more than the calf wants to suck, the mother wants the milk removed. This is teaching that Hashem wants us to grow our vessels so that we take and receive more from Him. This is what we are to do. And the way you grow your vessel is to go out into the universe and expand your consciousness, to meditate using the Hebrew letters, to meditate using the techniques you've been taught. My teacher tells a well-known story from Jerusalem during the 50s, which was told about the Ben Ish Chai of Baghdad, one of the Sephardic sages. He would rise at midnight and go into the attic where he studied alone. Yet his students heard two voices speaking back and forth. The students wanted to know what was going on in that room. They devised a story that the students were in McLaughlin about an issue, a disagreement about an issue they were studying. And they sent a 10-year-old, because the Ben Ish Chai wouldn't get mad at a young boy. They sent a 10-year-old to the house and told him to take the note and go upstairs quietly to the attic, not even knock on the door, just burst in there and see what was there. Who was there? Where were the voices coming from? Before the boy got to the attic, the Ben Ish Chai opened the door and came down with a note and said, tell the students this is their answer and not to bother me again. How could he know what the question was? He never read the note. The answer is expanded consciousness for the purpose of drawing more fulfillment from the Creator, which is what gives the Creator nachat, or pleasure. Nachat is a Hebrew word, nachas is a Yiddish word, and it's a word that is very difficult to translate. Nachat is what a grandparent feels when he looks at his grandchild who is newborn. The child has done nothing except exist. The grandparent feels pleasure, feels joy beyond measure, just because he sees the continuity of who he is and what he is. The tikkun of the soul, called tikkun ha-nefesh, is the process of putting the higher self in contact with the lower self, and thereby overriding the corruption of the satan, which uses the Hebrew letters in an incorrect sequence. Either too many letters, or not enough letters, or letters that have been mixed up. And this is the cause of all illness. This is the cause of all limitation on human beings. This is the cause of lengthening the process. It's an amazing teaching when one comes to understand it. When you meditate using the Hebrew letters, you are overwriting. You're erasing the wrong sequences of letters and writing over them with the correct sequences of letters. Again, from the Sha'arei Ruach HaKodesh, how do corrupt systems see the future? We are told that the future in the frame of the Sefer Yetzirah, the Olam Yetzirah, is known only up to 30 days. Beyond that, it's on a level of quantum. What does quantum mean in this context? It takes human perception to come into being. Therefore, even if you hear it from God Himself, it still takes humans to buy into that expectation. That is why I ask you to accept the possibility of living 300 plus years. No prophecy must come true. None. Only if people perceive it does it happen. The more of this knowledge you internalize, the more the negative prophecies will not happen, and the positive prophecies will happen. It is up to us to learn the truth. Now, the Shai Ruach HaKodesh is explaining the beings of light that many New Age people refer to as who they are communicating with. Let us change our page and go to class 39, because there will be enough in that class as well. Yes.
I have a question. How does one know he achieves his objective? He's supposed to have, first of all, he's supposed to start out with an objective. And how does he know he achieved it?
Well, that's really what I'm teaching tonight, Joe, is you need to have an objective. And the ultimate objective is to expand your consciousness, to bring your more of your unconscious to the level of the conscious. So how do you know that you've achieved that? I'm asking you, if that's the goal, would you know whether
you achieved it or not? I wouldn't have a clue.
You would or would not?
I would not have a clue.
If you want to expand your consciousness so that your unconscious is now, you're made aware of it. And all of a sudden, tomorrow,
you see what I mean? Tomorrow,
you get a thought that your motivation for being unhappy has to do with fears. Is that expanded consciousness?
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Or depression.
Or depression.
Oh, I see.
Or
fear of the unknown.
When you realize more about yourself, that's expanded consciousness. More about your motivations for why you do what you do. If we look at an individual person strictly logically, we will see him do truly illogical things based on his own statements. A person is studying a particular form of logic. A person is talking to his friends. I believe that I will do such and such in my life. And then the person totally changes direction. I'm never going to get married, some people have said. And then he gets married.
Well, there's an old expression, never say never.
Of course, but that doesn't mean people never say never. Do what I say, not what I do. or do what I do, not what I say. The point is, if you look at yourself, you will see yourself doing totally illogical actions based on what you believe, what you know to be true, what is correct. Is it logical for a person in wartime to jump on a live grenade to save his friends, his mates?
No, that's an illogical act. That's a totally. Act of
Does it happen?
Right.
Yes, it happens.
All the time.
How can we understand this? This is why we have to realize the only way you can know what you're doing is by bringing more of your unconscious into your conscious. Because no action that we do is coming from our conscious mind. All of our actions are coming from our unconscious level, and then our conscious provides a justification. She's amazing. It's got nothing to do with how beautiful she is. She may very well, more than likely, is very beautiful. There are very few people who are not beautiful. But ultimately, why you're attracted to her has nothing to do with her beauty. That's your justification to your friends and even to yourself of why you're attracted to her. You're attracted to her because you have a connection with her. And the universe has said, now is the time for you two half-souls to come together and correct. Cause and effect. Cause is always a spiritual cause. And that spiritual cause is coming through our unconscious. And any time we look at it as the conscious level, that's just justifying our actions to ourselves. It's not the true reason. Every time you meditate, you expand that consciousness. You may not be aware of it. It's like every night you dream. Every night you're receiving information. Your unconscious receives it. Your conscious only remembers it or only sees it when it remembers it. Meditate more and you'll remember more of your dreams. It's a cause and effect relationship.
You can make a better decision. You can make better decisions.
Yes, you can make better decisions. You will make decisions more on the basis of your free choice rather than your unconscious dictating your process. That's very hard to prove, but that's why we have the adage from my class, never believe a word I say. Just try it and you'll see the result. Let's start with class number 39. We won't finish it. And what I have here is a discussion. A discussion about a technical glitch. We've had that on Sunday in our prayer class. We had a series of technical glitches. Joe disconnected a number of times. The system wasn't working. He kept coming back in and reconnecting, and I would have to stop and interact with other people or with him so that other people, I stopped my train of thought. All of the issues. I'm bringing this discussion at this point because I have the time, but also because it's a very important aspect of to understand. Even technical glitches are part of the process. The real basic understanding is it is not the goal. Logically, I have a goal. I create a goal. I want something. That's my goal. That's not the purpose. The purpose is the process. In the process, I will achieve the goal. Why? Because Hashem wants me to have that goal. Not because I have done anything to achieve it. I have done something to achieve it. I started the process. I set the goal and I started the actions. But that's not necessarily why I achieved that goal. We're taught in this Western society, the American dream is if you work hard, you can get anything you want. You can even be president of the United States. Is it true? Absolutely. We've seen it demonstrated over and over again.
But that's only in Hollywood.
No, it's not. In 2008, President Obama.
All right, but
President Obama.
There was a set of
to be president. In 2000, when he was born in Hawaii, would anybody think that there would be a black president? Anything you want to accomplish, you can accomplish. Not because you desire it, but because you started the process. And Hashem says, you want this? I'll let you have it. It's part of the plan. The plan of creation. And within that process is things like technical glitches. Why do they happen? Who knows? That's not an answer that satisfies people. But ultimately, the answer is it comes to you as an opportunity to not get upset. How many times have you had technical glitches and you want to swear at the computer? You want to solve a technical glitch? Next time, Joe, turn off your computer, say the Ana B'Koach, and turn it back on, and it will go away. Am I joking? No, I'm not joking. I've done it myself. I've seen it work. It's an amazing process. Other times I forget to do it, and I have technical glitches over and over and over that I have created because I was given an opportunity to rise above that reaction. Even in meditations, there can be technical glitches. Are these signs that you are to stop meditating? No. They can also be opportunities to grow around the blockage. How do you know which it is? How do you know what the sign means? I'm telling you very clearly, if you walk down the street and a leaf falls from the tree, the path that it follows, the way the wind blows it this way and that until it hits the ground is a message to you from God. Hanoch, what does it mean? I don't know. Doesn't mean the message isn't there. It just means I don't have the merit to understand it yet. so I know there's a message. What do I do with it? I don't know what the message is. Move on. Continue the process. Enjoy the process. Enjoy and be happy that you don't know. That's how you build your vessel, so that the next time you're going to get that thought, this is what it means.
So actually a failure is a good thing then. What I mean by failure is you don't reach your objective.
Correct. How many people do you know who started a business and went bankrupt, but didn't give up? They started another business, and they went bankrupt again. And now they started a third business, and after 20 years, this one we consider a success. How many times has it happened to how many different people over the centuries? Many, many times. There's no such thing as failure. Everything is for the good. Gamzu l'tova, as our sage said, and this is also for good. The business going failed was a cleansing. It caused the person to doubt his own skills, to stout his own tools. And that's what Hashem wanted him to do. But not so much that he gave up and didn't try to build a business again. And other people, they doubt their skills. I have a student today. Went through the 2008, got destroyed. Doesn't want to try again. I don't know that that's wrong for him, only he can make that decision. What I do know is the fact that he went down means that Hashem wants him to be doing something else, either a different business or a different job or a different process or a different pattern. But what Hashem has planned for him is greater than what he had planned for himself in that other business. I'm going to leave off at this point. Next week we'll continue, because next week I'm going to read a published paper from my teacher explaining the three klipot, explaining the process of meditation, explaining how you need to go through different perceptions in your meditations. Those names are the storm, the fog, and the fire. They are metaphors, very significant metaphors. We're going to discuss the meaning of those metaphors, but you will find they're unique to you in your meditation. Meditation is not a logical process. It's an unconscious, illogical, intuitive process. And this description of these three klipot, these three veils, these three processes, is also an intuitive process, an intuitive growth. We'll spend a lot of time on that next week. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
When you say the klipa, you have to peel, the process is of peeling it away? The klipa?
The word klipa means shell.
Shell, I mean, you peel it.
You have an orange. It's an orange coloring on a shell. You peel off the shell. You break the shell, you remove the shell, and then you have the goal. What is the goal? the sweetness of the internal orange. What is the goal of meditation? We said it at the beginning of this class. The goal of meditation is to expand your consciousness. How do you do that? You break the shell. You remove the shell. You transform the shell. You go through the process of the shell. And then you have the goal. And what is that goal? Another shell. Process is the totality, not the goal. But you have to have the goal, otherwise you will get lost. It's a paradox.
Is that like in military parlance, you have to have to make an attack, you have to have a goal, you have to have an objective. In an attack, but most instances they don't make it, or it falls apart.
Well, in military parlance, you have a goal to achieve, and you have a plan to achieve it. You have a process that is planned. The goal might be achieved, but the process goes out the window. How you achieve the goal has nothing to do with the plan.
Well, this whole week I saw on the TV the Normandy invasion of Europe.
Right.
June 6, 1944. The plans went awry. They had all kinds of problems. Utah Beach, Omaha Beach.
Right.
They didn't, but... But they did achieve the objective. They did break out and achieve the objective.
It's a perfect...
Barring other factors.
Joe, you've given me a perfect explanation. A perfect example of what this class is about. Why did they achieve the objective if the plans went awry? Because Hashem wanted them to have the... Achieve the objectives.
What?
Hashem wanted them to achieve the objectives. It had nothing to do with the plan. It had nothing to do with 70,000 people. It had nothing to do with all of the logistics of the ships leaving England. It had nothing to do with the Germans having been misdirected by their own officers. That's all part of the plan of creation of the Creator. And that's why things happen. Every time something happens in this world, it's for the best. It's what needs to happen. It's what the Creator's plan calls for. Not our plan, not our process. When we learn to love our process and stop thinking that we achieved the goal, we've broken the klipah. We've moved to that next level. Think about what I've said. Are there any other questions or comments? Have a beautiful week. I'm reminding you that next Wednesday night, not this week, a week from Wednesday, is Rosh Chodesh. There will be a Rosh Chodesh Tammuz event at 9 p.m. It's highly recommended that you participate in that. Tammuz is a month that you truly need to take control of. And we will explain why that is in that Rosh Chodesh connection. Please put it on your calendar. Do not let the process keep you away from it. Have a beautiful week.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night.